Daniels, A.G. Prescott, W.W. Hare. Huntsville, Alabama, June 15, 1904. Dear Brethren Daniels and Prescott and Dr. Hare, during the past night, scenes that clearly outline our present position were vividly presented to me. Scenes that had passed before me while we were on the steamer Morningstar were again presented. These representations, with the instruction given me, make clear to my mind the experience of the Berrien Springs meeting and of the councils which followed in Battle Creek. The long-suffering patience of God and His wonderful forbearance were manifested during the Berrien Springs meeting. Once more the Lord held forth to men who have been linking up with worldlings and working with unbelieving lawyers the words of love and mercy that He has been speaking for years. The meeting at Berrien Springs was an occasion of great perplexity to many of our brethren. It was a time of heavy burden and taxing labor for me. The Lord strengthened me and gave me power to stand before the people and speak words of counsel and encouragement. A special message of hope and courage was given for the men at Battle Creek. Oh, why did they not lay hold of it? There was opportunity for them to be placed upon vantage ground. Why did they not appreciate this opportunity? Greater evidence will not be given them that God is calling for a change of attitude. Some good confessions were made, but some chose to justify themselves and demanded concessions from their brethren. The Battle Creek Council. I have been given no encouragement to go to Battle Creek. I was shown that efforts would be made to call our leading men to Battle Creek to investigate the scriptures and discuss points of difference. I was then instructed that the students who had been called to Battle Creek and the ministers held there are in a dangerous atmosphere. The proposition to continue the same relations to Battle Creek, which again and again have been pointed out as detrimental, and the proposal to do that which should not be done, are ill-timed and dangerous. The result of these relations is unbelief in the movings of the providence of God. The testimonies that the Lord has given to establish the faith of His people in His word have been made of no effect. Men have sneered at the thought that it was God's judgments which had come upon the institutions in Battle Creek. Notwithstanding this, God's hand of mercy was not withdrawn from the institutions and the men in positions of responsibility. He still strove to save those who have been binding themselves up with worldlings. God sent His judgments on the institutions at Battle Creek for the purpose of scattering the many people congregated in that place. Those who counterwork the work of God, those who disregard His word, must beware lest they bring upon themselves a still more severe retribution. The Lord's long forbearance has been interpreted by some to mean that there was no special need for repentance. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. I have been instructed to say that altogether too long have our ministers been answering the calls to come to Battle Creek to attend councils. That which has been done by calling men away from their work to attend such councils in Battle Creek for the purpose of bringing about a better understanding has failed to meet our expectations, because leading men in the medical work were determined to carry out their cherished plans. And at the close of each council, these men have made representations that they had gained decided victories. It has been shown me that the effort made at Berrien Springs to save the leading men in the medical work was interpreted by them as a victory over their brethren, and has been used to strengthen their hands in the carrying out of their purposes. The gracious invitation was given, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11,
verse 28 to 30. But the invitation was not accepted. The Lord says, "Why will you not come to me and find rest? Why do you refuse my outstretched, helping hand?" After speaking for the last time at Berrien Springs, a scene passed before me, showing me that some would construe what had been done at that meeting to save them as special victories for their side. I saw evil angels working with their deceptive sophistries on men's minds, so that they might work on other minds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. I was filled with an intense desire that those who were deceived might come to the light.
Our brethren are not to be called to Battle Creek to hold a council for the examination of doctrines, while the men who profess to know the truth remain surrounded by a cloud of unbelief. Our ministers, instead of turning their faces toward a council at Battle Creek, should be considering the thousands of people in the cities of America who should be hearing the message of warning. These cities have been strangely neglected, and the judgment will reveal the result. By the large investments of means in the Battle Creek Sanitarium, many have been robbed of the help that God designed them to have. This is not a time to call from the field our leading workers to discuss and adjust points of difference between the medical workers and the workers in other lines. The remedy for many of these difficulties will be found in heeding the messages of counsel published in recent testimonies. The present is a time for aggressive work in the field. To our brethren in Washington, the word is given, "Arise and build." Nehemiah 2, verse 20. To our people in all the conferences, the word is, "Strengthen the hands of the builders." Nehemiah's experience. Let those who are asked to leave their work to engage in a council at Battle Creek read the 6th chapter of Nehemiah. It came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein it was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." Then sent I unto him, saying, "There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." Verses 1 to 8. History is being repeated. Work of this nature has been done and will be done again. Nehemiah continues, "For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night they will come to slay thee." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. verses 9 to 13. A work similar to this will be done, and Seventh-day Adventists will have to meet it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17. The work in Washington.
The Lord calls upon his people in every state in America to come up to his help in the establishment of his work in Washington. Those who have this work in hand are to show no lack of interest in it, and our people are to remember that for the present, the work in Washington is to be our first interest. There are many lines of work to be carried forward in different places, but our first interest just now is our work at the capital of our nation. We are to center our minds for the present on the work that needs to be done at Washington. Daily, our petitions are to ascend to heaven for the success of this work, that it may move forward rapidly. The Lord of Hosts gave special directions that the publishing work done at Battle Creek should be transferred to Washington. The directions were so plain that we could see there must be no delay. And since we have moved forward in obedience to this word, we have had evidence that the Lord has prepared the way for the establishment of important interests at Washington. Thus far, he has helped us in a way that leaves no room for anyone to doubt or question. The work in Washington is to advance in straight lines, without delay or hindrance. Let it not be kept back for lack of means. The workers in Washington will advance with steadfast courage just as fast as the Lord's people will furnish them with means. Let every church in every place act its part cheerfully and willingly. Proving the Lord. We read in Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come unto you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Malachi 3, verse 1 to 5. The evils mentioned here are to find no place in any of our institutions. God has always reproved anything approaching to unfair dealing in any line of his work. His work is to be established in equity and righteousness. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, he declares, "My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering,
for my name shall be great among the heathen. Malachi 1, verse 11. The work that shall be carried forward in our institutions is to bear the precious fragrance spoken of in His Word. Those not of our faith are to be given clear evidence that in the work done by Seventh-day Adventists, there is not a trace of dishonesty. Ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Malachi 2, verse 4 to 7. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Malachi 3, verse 8, 9. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Verses 10 to 12. When those who have had great light will humble their hearts before the Lord, confessing their sins, these gracious promises will be fulfilled. But there are those who need to learn that God will not serve with the sins of those who depart from truth and righteousness.
Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work righteousness are delivered. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Verses 13 to 15. There are those who have cherished these very sentiments. But now another side is presented. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then will ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Verses 16 to 18. The closing words of this scripture outline the experience that the people of God are yet to have. We have a wonderful future before us as a people. The promises of the third chapter of Malachi will be verified to the letter. The Lord's people are to be channels through which his blessings are to flow for the upbuilding of the special work to be done in Washington. We call upon those who love God and fear his name to do zealously and unselfishly the work that he places before them.